I wasn't sure how long. So I made that video. So I've heard that song over a million times. I hope you enjoyed it because I'm like, oh gosh. Okay. So good morning. My name is Casey Crimmins. And as Derek said, we're closer than you think we are as family this morning. I have worshiped here on that row behind my brother Clay when he was preaching sometime last year. So all of my kids that are of age have gone through Matthew's First Baptist Day School. So very familiar with the property. I have prayed for y'all by name in the context that I've been at before. We had a time usually in the morning where we would pray for churches in our city. So I've prayed for you. I've worshiped with you. We are a lot closer than you think we are. So I'll attempt not to lean too far into that because I know we got to get to know each other this morning. Is that cool? Can we do that? Hey, what's up, balcony? I was telling someone that I've heard of back row Baptists. I've never heard of balcony Baptists, but what up, hey? At the context that I'm at, we're in like one floor, like in a circle. So on the one hand, this is easier because I don't have to preach to everyone that's around a circle. I just have to preach this way, but I'll try to give you some love up there as well because God wants to say something to you this morning as well. Students, what's up? Students, what's up? Okay. Cool. I love what, yeah, that's good. So I'm from Albany, New York, upstate New York. Okay, we got a fist pump. All right. You think it's cold here? It's really cold up there right now, so I'm really glad I'm here. Although the 90 degrees until like October 5th, I wasn't so down with, but glad that it decided to turn into autumn yesterday. Albany, New York, born and raised. Just a little bit about me, just so you can understand kind of some of the context as I speak this morning. I was not raised in a Christian household, okay? So that's a thing. I know y'all in the South, but up North, not everybody's Christian, and my family was not. My mom came to know Christ when I was 15. Anybody 15 over here? A couple 15-year-olds? Okay, so here's what happened. Mom came to know Jesus. She started going to church. We all decided, oh, well, let's just, man, mom wants to go to church. Let's go to church. So we went to church, and I joined, and I was part of the youth group there that met on Thursday night. So on Sunday morning and Thursday night, I was kind of Christian Casey. And then every other day of the week, I was just the heathen that I was beforehand. But I was really good at pretending. I was really good at kind of going along with those motions until I went to college where the wheels just came off. Any moral boundaries that I had just broken until senior year. Midway through senior year, Jesus just took a hold of my heart in a way that was a little disruptive, because giving your life to Jesus midway through senior year of college is not a very convenient time to decide that you're not going to do all the stupid things that you were doing before. So one night, January 1st, 2007, the level of conviction and just the counterfeitness of the world finally came to fruition in my life, where I just realized what I'd been chasing after, what I thought was going to make me really happy and full of joy, was actually just like salt water, just continuing to go in and making me thirstier and thirstier. And I said, well, if this is what the world offers, I've heard about this guy named Jesus. Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to surrender to you and see where this thing goes. And here we are 12 and a half years later, and he's still wrecking my life. So that's a little bit about me. Ooh, I'm a little weepy this morning. My family. Let me do the family photo thing. So this is my family. I got a bunch of kids. Now here's the fun part. Four of them are biological. One of them is not. Can you tell which one? let me do a quick thing that I wasn't planning on doing. It's the Lord just kind of put on my heart. Are any of y'all either foster or adoptive parents? Can you just raise your hand for a second? Any of y'all in here? Okay. Y'all, it is hard, okay? This has nothing to do with the message, but I just have to be authentic with you this morning. We had a very difficult night last night. When you're fostering or when you're taking care of a child that you did not raise, it is very difficult, but it makes the adoption of God over our lives into sonship with him so real, that now I am a part of God's family when I was not. And this child is now part of our family when he was not, and it's difficult and it's tough. But can we just love on those people that just raised their hand for just one second? Because it is no joke. Thank you. Ooh, okay. Was not ready for this morning. Sorry, Derek. Pastor, right. 5 years ago, transitioned into full-time ministry after doing GE Capital. I worked in corporate America for about 10 years and then planted a church a little while ago. We're like neighbors, y'all. So just, what's up? Hey, this is your neighbor just coming to hang out during the Art of Neighboring series. So let's talk about For Charlotte for just a hot second. Derek kind of skimmed along the surface, but I want you to know that this is something, a movement in our city that y'all are a part of, whether you know it or not, but I think most of you do know you're a part of this, that started probably about 8 years ago. And it was a question. A guy named Rob Kelly, who's the CEO, CEO of For Charlotte, said, what would happen, balcony, what would happen if the pastors of Charlotte like knew each other and like loved each other? Like, that was the question. What if the pastors that led churches in the city knew each other and like loved each other? What could that look like? And so that was like the simple foundation that then built and built and built. And now there's networks all over the city. I think there's a total of like 14. Some of them are geographic, which is what I did for about 2.5 years and still kind of helping with the Southeast Network. That's where I got to know Brad. Where's my man Brad? Yes, Brad, helping out and connecting First Baptist Matthews into that. And then we started a Church Planters Network about a year ago. We have a lot of church planters coming to the city and they like airdrop in and we're like, hey, why don't you just like come and be part of the family? Let's resource you. Let's tell you how to do what we need to be doing in Charlotte. So we did that. And so all these different networks just asking this question. And it really revolves around John 17. Anybody familiar with John 17 at all? This is part of Jesus' prayer, like the last long prayer that we get from him. And he's like, hey, y'all should be one as I am one, like in the Father, as I am in the Father, you're in me, me and you. Like, he starts using very colorful language, but what he's saying is we are already one. Let's work out of our oneness to then be about the business of the Father. In fact, he says, if you do this, and when you do this, the people will know that I have sent my son Jesus and I love you. So unity seems to be like a really important thing that the church, capital C, should be about. Because I'm going to mess with you real quick. Do you all know how many churches there are in Charlotte? Just shout out. Just guess. What's that? 1,000-ish? Million? There's about 970 buildings, but there's actually only one church in Charlotte. There's 975 expressions of the body of Christ. I know, that was dirty. But that's what we're all about. John 17. So I joined the team back in June, and Rob said, here you go. Here's a unified sermon series. We have like 20 churches signed up. Get us to 100. And I was a sales guy, so let's go. So here we are today, over 100 churches. We translated this into Spanish as well. So we have 10 to 15 Spanish-speaking churches on this morning using all the same things except all of it's in Spanish. So if you speak Spanish, go find one of those churches and then come back when it's all over. So 60 to 70, listen to this number for a second. 60 to 70,000 people will hear this message over the course of 3 weeks. 60 to 70,000 people will hear the same message over the course of 3 weeks of neighboring and the art of neighboring. So I just have to ask you the question, like, can you imagine for a second what would happen? What would our church bodies look like? What would our city look like if Christians in our cities, in our city, would be just like really great neighbors? Like, what if we took the words of Jesus and just said, let's just take it literally? Like, what would happen? Maybe not overnight, maybe it would take a little bit of time, but like, what would happen if that took place? Because it's not just 60 to 70,000 people in this city. By the statistics, Barna did a study not long ago. Y'all know that like 46% of citizens of Charlotte call themselves Christians? I'm like, y'all, just go find one person. We'll take the city tomorrow. What would happen? What would happen if we just took him at his word that we are to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves? The goal of this series, the goal of this book that this guy named Dave Runyon wrote, which is where this all come from, is The Art of Neighboring. The goal is to move people kind of along this continuum of relationships where you all have people that you live near that you're like, hey, bud, hey, what's up, dude? Hey, guy, what's up? Hey, how's that lawn coming? Like, whatever, okay, that's like a stranger, okay? You have a stranger, see that move to maybe acquaintance, and see that acquaintance maybe move into some type of deeper relationship. And see what might come when relationships start to develop, when we do things intentionally with the people that we literally sleep 150 yards from. Some of you have big yards. Maybe it's 250 yards. I don't know. What would happen? So through this, we have a Sunday school curriculum is what I think a lot of your Sunday schools are going to be going through. And that just gives you a chance just to get a little more granular, maybe pull in some accountability. I know we all love that word, right? Like a little accountability, a little encouragement to go deeper into how this might impact you. There's also a YouVersion daily reading. You know the app, you know YouVersion? Y'all ever heard of that before? It's like the most used Bible app on the face of the planet. Okay, good. Y'all already know. Okay. There's an app or a plan that they created for the 3 weeks as well, so we can all be reading scripture together. And that's what we're excited about. So this morning, we're going to be in Luke 10 eventually. I'm just going to give you just a little bit of a high-level picture of something that I've just been wrestling with. I'm an activator, okay? That's a strengths finder thing if y'all are into personality assessments. I'm an activator. I don't want to go to the meeting where you plan something. I want to go to once you figured it out what we're doing next, right? I'm an action guy. I want to go do the thing that you were going to talk about. If you drag me to a committee meeting for like a year on like what Bible verse is going to go up on like the atrium hall, like I'm like, no, please. When you're putting it up, maybe I can help you, but even that, I'm not even sure if that's fun, okay? So I'm an activator, and I think, and I don't know how many people think like me, because I don't assume that y'all think like me, but there have been some moments in my life where I've seen big problems, big issues. High school students, even like the world is like your oyster. You can invent something in the next 2-3 years that like revolutionizes everything. Y'all still have that potential. Some of the folks over there, they don't have that potential anymore. I love you, but there's a lot of potential here, okay? So to activate you to think, and I used to think like big problems, I would always come back to, if everybody just did this, we could solve this like tomorrow. Like if everybody just gave like this much money to poor people, then there'd be no poor people. If we just didn't throw away all this food, we'd figure it out. And we'd, you know, think after thing. Although a lot of this manifested itself in high school, especially at dances, proms and homecomings and those things. And maybe you have no idea where I'm going with this, but I'm just gonna tell you. You ever have that moment at a dance, and our buddy Eli, he was at his Navy ball last night. You ever have that moment where everybody's kind of standing around and no one's dancing, but then like the jam comes on. You're like, yeah. And then you're like, if everybody just does it at the same time, everybody wants to dance, all right? There's no like question whether or not you want to dance, but you're waiting like, are we going to do this together? Are we not? So you need that person to come in and you need to trust that the other people are gonna do what they said they were gonna do or what they should do. And you gotta trust that you just can do your piece and that they're gonna do their piece. That obviously leads into a bigger situation as we talk about the art of neighboring. What if we all were to take Jesus's great commandment literally? All. Meaning, all trusting that if everyone just takes their piece of the puzzle, takes their piece of the pie, if everybody just doesn't try to do everything, but just tries to do what they're called to do, and then honestly, at the end of the day, just all trusting in the power of Jesus and his words and his wisdom and the Holy Spirit within us, if we all did that together, man, we'd have a sweet dance party. Could be called neighboring. The city wouldn't need another nonprofit or another church. We'd all just kind of figure it out. So, with that said, can I encourage you real quick with some scripture before we get into Luke 10? In Acts 17, Peter is giving this like espousing this amazing thing. He's at the Areopagus and he's like super amazing preacher. He was like a bum. Now he's a preacher filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 17, verses 26 and 27 says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Let me just encourage you in something this morning. You do not live where you currently live by accident, okay? I'm sure you love that floor plan. I'm sure those hardwoods are just, woo, look what the Lord did with these hardwoods. You might really love that cul-de-sac so your kids can play out there and not get hit by cars. We all love that, right? But you are there on purpose. God, in his sovereign, beautiful, amazing hand, said, hey, Alex, I want you here because there's something going on around you, and you might be the exact only Jesus person in that place. We, as the people of God, have to energize our theology of place, that you're not there by accident. Your personality is not on accident. Your kids are not on accident. Your lack of kids are not on accident. Whatever it is that's going on, it ain't no accident. It's on purpose. And as we lean into that purpose and we talk about these things this morning, I'm excited to see what God does. All right, let's get to this. Luke 10. I know y'all been super pumped about it, so let's do it. All right, Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. This is a wise guy comes up to Jesus. He's actually a lawyer. It's verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to them, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly." That's Jesus saying, "Hey, you answered correctly," which if that was me, I'd feel really good about myself. Like, yes, I did it, okay. "But do this and you will live." But he, lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So looking to justify himself, couldn't just take like the kudos from Jesus, like the Son of God. He's like, but hey, is there like a loophole in this thing? Because who exactly is it that I'm supposed to be loving in this way as I love myself? And then Jesus goes on to tell this parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So there goes the priest, right? So likewise, a Levite, another religious leader, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound him up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal. Some of you, I think it says like donkey or horse, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Jesus turns to the lawyer, who I'm sure is really pumped that he asked this question. "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and you do likewise." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, and I'm really grateful that that word's truth. So let your truth wash over us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit, and only the way that you can move us, agitate us, convict us as needed, that we would then become and step into the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm gonna give you a quick disclaimer, a very brief disclaimer about what I am talking about. Okay, the actual definition of neighbor, I'm just being honest, as someone who studied this and all that, okay, the actual definition of neighbor is much bigger than our literal neighbors, okay? Breathe out for a second. I know you've been waiting for this, some of you theologians. It is way bigger than just our literal neighbors. But here's the deal. In raising the value of neighboring and like literal neighbor, we don't wanna dismiss the other forms of neighboring, okay? So you have people that you work with, like right, your coworkers, students. So you have people that you don't necessarily live next to, but maybe like have a locker next to them, sit in a lot of classes with them, whatever that might be, people you are in close proximity to, or maybe that parent on your kid's soccer team that you like hang out with a lot, like that could be, and I'm not undismissing that. Okay, there's actually a ton of theology baked within this, like the place, the Jericho Road, the Levite, the priest. Like there's a ton in this. Like, is it like the enemy? Because there's like Samaritans and Jews, and what does that mean? I am not touching that this morning, okay? And here's why. I think sometimes you gotta crawl before you. Thank you. Okay, you talked this morning. That's really good. We broke the barrier. You gotta crawl before you walk. And Dave Runyon often says he wanted to, as he was like praying through and thinking through this, he's like, I just want to set the bar so low that people can like crawl over it. And then maybe from there, then we figure out what happens next. So don't hear me saying that the other forms of neighbors are not neighbors. We are just getting into that. And for all you Greek-speaking Christian amazing people out there, I'm gonna give you a little knowledge this morning. You know the word neighbor, translated from the Greek, plaision, do you know what it means? Near or nearby, okay? So we're not like going off into left field here. I'm just trying to bring you down a lane that we're gonna talk about neighbor, and over the next 3 weeks, you're gonna talk about neighbor as your literal neighbor. Let's start there. And this morning, over the next 15 minutes or so, I'm gonna give you 3 challenges. And I promise you, or I shouldn't promise you, another disclaimer, they might like hurt a little bit, or there might be a little tension. I want you to pay attention to the tension. We say that a lot at Multiply Church. Pay attention to the tension. If you hear me talking about something that like Jesus said or Jesus said to do, and like something burns, like, oh, I don't like that. That makes me feel good. Pay attention to it. There's probably something that God wants to deal with in you through his Holy Spirit. So just pay attention to it, okay? So here are the 3 challenges. Number 1, when we try to love everyone, we end up loving no one. When we try to love everyone, we end up loving no one. And here's just a big picture. If we are not intentional about honing in this like amazing commission, this amazing command, like all the things that Jesus has done, if we're not intentional about honing in a bit, we can get a bit scattered. Okay, y'all ever like sense that ever in your worlds or in the church places that you've been? Like, it's like, let's go solve the world's problems tomorrow, and you end up solving nothing. We in the North American church specifically are so, like there's this ideal of bigger is better and more people. Let's reach and reach and reach and reach. Let's get all these people saved. When I read the words of Jesus and I watch the way he did his ministry, guess who he seemed really, really like enthralled with? The one. And it's usually the person right in front of you. Okay? That Samaritan walking down the road didn't try to solve the Jews' problems or whatever nationality that guy was that was naked and half dead on the floor. He saw a need and said, this is what's right in front of me. So let me care for this. Let me love this person currently. Because if we can't start there, it gets a little hard to go out there. Number 1. Number 2. Oh. I've been praying for this, and just love me enough to like receive this. Cool. Can you head nod for a second? Some of you did. Oh gosh. Okay, this might be bad. A good neighbor. Number 2. A good neighbor always trumps a good program. A good neighbor always trumps a good program. I saw a lot of people nodding your head, so I don't think it was as bad as I thought it was. Good. So let's talk about this for a second, church people. And if you're not a church person, cool. You're in a church right now. We, church people, we love us some programs, man. We love them. We love a good Bible study, men's group, women's group, E group, D group, G group, whatever group it might be. We love that little outreach peppered in there. Come on, let's go do something next month. Let's go. We love it. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. We need that sometimes, right? But let me give you like a little behind the scenes, because we're family this morning, right? Balcony, right? I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes of what a church program really is. A church program is primarily put in place to encourage Christians to do the things that they should be doing but aren't doing on their own. Couple of cackles over there. Okay, I got you smiling, man. All right, here you go. And I love y'all to say this, and we can joke about this a little bit. And they're amazing because there are some people so early in their faith that they don't know what to do, right? Y'all aren't reading your Bible every day yet. You don't know every word that Jesus said. So yeah, the church body and the leadership of the church and leaders like Derek can lead you and guide you in a path that gets you kind of started. Those are fine. The 30 to 40 to 50 year Christian that still are relying on those pieces to reach the nations, I just like a little caution flag for y'all. Because let me tell you something about your neighbor. They could give to blah, 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 about what program your church is doing. I'm just promising you this. They could not care less, especially if they're not in it, right? Do they care that your men's group meets on Wednesday mornings if they never want to hear about Jesus? No. Do they care that your women's group is doing the greatest, most amazing Beth Moore study? They couldn't care less because they are hurting. They are broken. They are in desperation, some of them. You as an individual, remember that theology of place, have been placed in certain places to care for and to love people that you literally might be sleeping 150 yards from. Your job is not to get them to a Beth Moore study. Your job is to show up at their front door. I love you enough to say that out loud. Let me tell you some neighborhood facts, neighboring facts, sorry. People who have close bonds with their neighbors live longer. I don't know why. Maybe it's a better life. Who knows? It's a statistic. It's probably true. When natural disasters strike, your neighbors are your first responders. I'm gonna tell you a quick little story from over the summer. Any of y'all know that like the Catawba River flooded over the summer? Like horribly? Yeah, the Baptist men like crushed it in terms of like natural response. Y'all are killing it. It was great. And we partnered with you. But did you know, they didn't know it was happening, right? Like Duke Energy, they like opened up a floodgate and a bunch of things and like feet of water are coming up in the middle of the night. I was talking to one of the people that were living there at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. There's a knock on the door. And they're thinking, what's going on? Opens the thing. There's a dude in a boat outside his front door. Like, hey, the river's flooding. Get in. Oh, let me grab my stuff. You don't have time. You are, whether you know it or not, we had a hurricane last year. Hey, you're the one that in relationship can go to your neighbor and be like, hey, I saw there's a limb down in your backyard. You need some help with that? Hey, I saw that the rain kind of came in. It looks like there might be some flood. Do you need some help with that? Because I promise you, when this city has a natural disaster take place in it, it is overwhelmed and cannot get to little neighborhood, cul-de-sac, whatever, first, all right? They're doing like transformer work and lines down stuff. They can't get there, but guess what? You can. And if you know Jim's name, guess what? Go knock on Jim's door. Make sure he's doing good, Jim. In communities where people know the names of their neighbors, crime is lower. In Charlotte, we have an entire city department devoted to housing and neighboring because they recognize the importance of neighboring. You are way better than a program at your church. Just remember that. Number three. Yeah, it's hard to know the needs of our neighbors if we don't know the names of our neighbors. It's hard to know the needs of our neighbors if we don't know the names of our neighbors. And I know y'all, oh, I had it in my pocket down there. I know y'all had done the block map thing like a little while ago for something else. That's something that we're pushing out for churches that haven't done it recently. And, you know, you kind of take the map, and I was working on it this morning to figure out, okay, how many of these eight blocks, how many do I know, at least their first name, maybe the husband's name or whatever. And I did pretty good, but there's this one guy across the street that just never smiles at me. Okay, just never smiles at me. And Derek knows this, like, hurts my heart, okay? I just want people to like me. And I'm like, hey, and he's like, and walks back in his house. I have no idea what's going on. But I'm praying, as I know the city is praying, that things like that, those tension points, can be broken. And who knows, he might need something. Maybe there's a natural disaster and I can go help him in some way. Who knows? But that's where I'm at. I don't know where you're at. Do you know any of the names of your neighbors? You don't have to nod your head, but just think. Do you know one, two, three? Now I start to lose people. Four, five, six, like, oh gosh, there's so many. Do you know their names? Because ultimately we have to grasp at what it means to love. Because Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let me tell you something. If something happens to me, I'm going to take care of myself. If something happens to my body, I'm going to tend to my needs. So if I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, it sounds like, and in this parable that Jesus just put on, it sounds like loving someone looks like meeting their need. As we talked about before, what's right in front of you, what's right, like literally like within arm's distance. The Samaritan walking the street did not set out this morning on a mission trip to go help a guy that was like naked and beaten on the floor. Okay, that was not like his like mission leader was like, hey, come on, guys, we're gonna go help this guy that needs some help and make sure you bring some extra money and make sure you bring your donkey because you're gonna have to throw some bloody guy on it. All right, let's go. No. And it's a parable, so like hang with me. It's Jesus' words, not mine. But no. He was going. And there was a need. And he said, I'm gonna meet it. And then there was another need. Transportation. Put him on the donkey. What's the next need? Oh, he needs a place to stay. Here's some money. Oh, there might be more needs. Here's even more money, and I'll be back next week to pay for whatever else you needed to do to care for this man. Church, can you hear me? That we need to be those. We can't know people's needs if we don't know their names. Now, if they're like beaten and bloody on the side of the street, you know their needs, okay? Like that, right? Can you, okay, right, yes. But chances are it's not gonna be like that. Chances are you don't know much about what their needs are. Because at the end of the day, their greatest need is Jesus, right? Let's not skip out on that, okay? Their greatest need is Jesus. If they are not in relationship with him, therefore connected to the Father and in full, who you say I am, and like if they're not singing that song and believing it, we know what their need is. But look at me for a second. Look at me. You ain't talking to your neighbor about Jesus the first time you meet him. If you are, you're an evangelist, and praise God, you're amazing. But let me promise you, they're not gonna receive your words of Jesus until they receive your care, until they receive that you actually care about them. And what an amazing opportunity y'all have, especially in those like tightly packed neighborhoods like we live in. Like I literally have eight neighbors within 50 feet of my home. These are eight opportunities, eight places that I can go and potentially, maybe if God gives an opportunity to love them and to care for them. Let me give you a couple examples real quick. Catty corner to us, we had a neighbor that lived there for basically the entire time we were there. We had a pretty good relationship, go to birthday parties, hang out, all that stuff. And then they moved. And then there's a new family coming in. So moving truck, that's like an invitation for me to walk over to your house. Hey, I'm your new neighbor, what's up? Well, we were busy. We don't, okay, cool. Well, if you ever want to come over, like, let me know. We have like cookouts and different things. It was the fall, I think, about a year ago. Now, come on over. Yeah, okay. And like, you know, you think like a day goes by, but like 3 months goes by, and you're like, why are they never around? What's going on? Hey, what's up, guys? Oh, sorry, we're still getting out of our old house. And this. Oh, okay, cool, cool. Finally, like, I saw him in person, like outside, and I'm like, I'll make up a name just in case. Michael. Yeah. Michael, hey, we're having a cookout tonight. You want to come over, man? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll talk to my wife about it. I was like, I'm getting this sucker. So I took like old school, like a pen and wrote a note in my like third grade chicken scratch handwriting, like threw it on his door, taped it to his door. Come over tonight, 5 o'clock. Every food that you need is at our house. Just come over and be there. And guess what? He showed up. It was crazy. Now, I'm just going to be honest. things got a little loose. But anyway, we loved him through it. And then from there, if you want to hear that story, we can talk about it out in like the fellowship hall. It's not appropriate for up here. But that's the messiness of neighboring. A few months ago, I started doing this thing called the Bless Every Home application. It's like you put your address in and put your name, and it sends you the names of your neighbors so you can pray for them by name. Like a really sweet, like don't even think about it app. It's amazing. You should download it. Started praying for the neighbors and names and people I'd never seen before or knew before. And one day I'm out in my driveway. I just finished mowing my lawn, and this dude walks up. And he's Eastern European. He said, I noticed there are cars in your driveway on Mondays. What is this? That's pretty good. We gather together on Mondays as a part of our devoted communities. We have dinner and usually have some type of discussion about the Bible or whatever. He's like, can I come? I said, for sure you can come. Let's roll. And now look, he loved Jesus already, but he didn't have a community around him that wanted to go on mission to his neighborhood. So he worships wherever he worships, but comes and hangs with us on Monday nights for dinner with him and his family because he wants to go on mission to see people in our neighborhood, like encounter the love of Jesus. And he knows it's better to do it with someone that's on that same mission. Okay? These are simple, like the simplest things. Okay, folks, remember, like crawl over this thing and see what God might do. Like, don't we serve a God that, like, sees our little and says, no, I can make that a lot. I could see a few loaves and some fishes, and guess what? I'm going to feed thousands with that. Don't ever, high schoolers especially, don't ever underestimate, like, the little that you might think you have. God says, no, that's exactly what I need. Balcony people, you might have just a little bit of time, a little bit of attention, a little bit of whatever. I don't care what you got, but you bring it to God and says, that's all I need. So what would happen if we just all did that together? What if we all just did that together? When we try to love everyone and we end up loving no one, a good neighbor always trumps a good program. And it's hard to know the needs of our neighbors if we don't know the names of our neighbors.